Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on! Good morning and a happy Thursday to everyone out there on the streets.
Not super happy, obviously, with a loss last night. But you know what? We're going to think positive right now as we head into the end of the week. And we have game 4 tomorrow at Oracle.
Yeah.
You know, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling all right. Feeling okay. Even though the Warriors did fall to the Raptors 123-109. Text the Chilton Autobody text line 95795 888-957. 9570. I think it's obvious that the big issue was missing Klay Thompson and Kevon Looney. This is the first time really that it feels like whenever they're injured or hurt, it's always just one player.
Right.
And you never have multiple guys, including KD. I didn't even put KD in there. It's just like he's been out indefinitely.
Exactly.
It's not even a thought anymore. He kind of forgot about that. But when you have those three guys out, you see what this team looks like. And last night, I think it's pretty easy to pinpoint what was the issue. Now, I do think, though, that I do think the Warriors had a chance in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they were going to be out with KD, Kevon Looney, and Klay, that they were going to have to play a clean game. They weren't going to have to turn. They didn't have to make stupid turnovers, which they did. They were making errant passes. They were going to have to make their open shots, which they didn't. They could have had a chance to win the game. It's not like you went into that last night thinking, no, yeah, Klay's out, they're done. I don't think many people felt that way. I think many people felt they legitimately had a shot last night.
They did. They kept inching their way back, clawing their way back, and you got to like 7 points, and then all of a sudden you have Danny Green hitting, you know, some big threes in the evening. You know, Fred VanVleet hitting some big shots at the wrong time for the Warriors. So you have these guys who are able to do it. Warriors had 14 turnovers, but so did Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to also give them credit because any time that the Warriors were going on a mini run, like in that second quarter, there was a perfect time because the defense was great in the second quarter. The way they were defending Kawhi in the second quarter was huge. But they didn't end up making the open shots, and they also didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
They only made like 3 or 4 points based in those 5 minutes almost. So they had their opportunities, I thought, last night, and they just couldn't get it done because they did have to play. They couldn't play a game like just – they couldn't just play like a good game. They had to play really good. They had to play clean. They almost had to play perfect in order for them to get the win, and they just didn't do that last night.
And you have somebody like Boogie who had a phenomenal game 2 performance, but a rough one last night, obviously still coming off the injury, and I know we had the high expectations for him and going, you know, only one day off basically.
Yeah.
Or so right now you obviously have him not performing as well. What he played 19 minutes in the game. Obviously he played, what was it, 28 minutes last time? So 28 minutes. 4 points in the game, 3 rebounds. You can't have only that when, you know, when you're the big man out there. You need to be more physical. You need to be out there grabbing boards.
You needed to be that next to Steph, being that primary scorer. Did you think that these guys weren't going to show up besides Steph? Like, no one did. No one scored in the double digits other than Steph until like the fourth quarter. So
you got Draymond finishing with 17, Andre with 11. But man, Steph Curry, 47 points.
Steph Curry, he played with
amazing
heart. He played with heart. I mean, he did everything that he needed to do. He came out, and I think that, I mean, if you questioned the legitimacy of Steph at all, which I don't think anyone did, then, I mean there's no way that you can question it anymore because he was even going when they were down like 15 in the fourth quarter. He was still diving for loose balls, trying to get it on offense, trying to get something going. So, you know, we can praise Steph all we want, but the other team's got to come through to help him because Steph can't be the only guy.
Yeah.
He can't be the only guy doing anything. And we have Draymond Green here talking after the game. He had the press conference of the team when, I mean, he had the one that really said a lot, yeah. And he's had this to say after the game.
I don't view it as sacrificing. We went out there and played hard and we lost. You know, we didn't go in this game thinking we're not going to play Clay or Kevin or Loon or anybody else. And we're just going to get his game away. They played well. They knocked down, I think, 17 threes. You got to give them credit. But we didn't sacrifice. You don't sacrifice a finals game to be healthy for the next one because anything can happen. But same time, you do have to be smart. You know, we would much rather have Clay for the rest of the series than putting him out there and lose him and then nothing. So, nah, no one sacrificed the game.
So, Anna, what was your mindset in the day? Where were you in terms of Clay actually playing, say, when you got home from work? Well, what would that be, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe 12 o'clock in the afternoon, who knows? But what was your mindset when you get home from work, then maybe you do some stuff, help the kids, do whatever you have to do, wait until the game starts for 4 hours later? What was your mindset within like that 4 hour span about Clay, whether he was going to play or not? Did you think he was going to play like at the beginning and toward, like when was there ever a point up until they announced it where you thought, yeah, Clay's not going
to
play?
So we actually went to go see a friend of ours right after work. With the whole family, went to go see a friend of ours. We're all sitting there talking about the Warrior game and he's like, what do you think? What do you think? What you think Clay's going to play? And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know how he could play based on everything that he's saying yesterday about not being able to do hard cuts and everything. We were talking about that yesterday. But in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, he hasn't missed a playoff game. He's the Iron Man. He's the guy who goes out there and just – and he digs deep and he gets out there. So I kept thinking, he's going to play. He's going to play. It doesn't seem right. My head was thinking one way. My heart was thinking another. And right. In the end, the head prevailed. Obviously, the Warriors are thinking health-wise, long-term, thinking we need him for the rest of the series. So it made complete sense. And first ever playoff game miss for Klay Thompson. That just goes to show you how tough he is.
Yeah.
How much of a baller this guy is, because he was definitely missed on the court last night. But I honestly thought, I still thought he shouldn't have played, but I thought he was going to.
Right, and I think that, I mean, it's been 121 straight playoff games, yeah. And we've seen some of the injuries that he's had. This one, it didn't look as egregious as the other one, say for when he looked like he like rolled his ankle and could have been out for the year, like looked like he tore his Achilles maybe or something like that. So I think we all just expected, it did look pretty bad when he went down, but I just think it didn't look as terrible as the ones in the past, and then it just kind of progressively got worse and worse as the game was going on. But I really did expect him to play.
Yeah,
I still had that mindset. We thought, we were saying on air, we were kind of going under the presumption that he would play just because of the way he was talking and the way that Kerr was talking. They're like, yeah, maybe he'll go out there. And you know, Clay did say, like, you know, if I'm not 100%, it's a no go. But you just assume, like, hey, you know, he'll convince them that he is 100% and he'll get out there. But in the end, he didn't, and the Warriors did fall. And from the 707 on the Chillin' Nobody text line, Clay sort of is a baller. Yeah, all right. That's a little pregame show inside joke there. That's for the diehards.
Yeah.
From the 510 on the Chillin' Nobody text line, Curry, Cousins, and Green sound like a great trio. What happened? LeBron, take Curry out and put LeBron in. We would have won. Curry, good offensive player, but sucks on defense. You needed more from Cousins. That's just it. You needed more from him. You know what, Curry, Cousins, and Green is a great trio, but we also got to remember, Cousins is not back to full strength. I don't think he's going to be back to full strength for this entire finals. If he came back from a torn quad, he rushed it, and then now he was playing well in game two, but yesterday you just saw he was taken advantage of, that's really putting it heavily, but he was figured out and they didn't really do anything with him and he couldn't score. So they are a great trio. Mm-hmm. They just didn't play up to their potential, which they had to last night. You absolutely had to play up to your potential. We don't want to use these injuries as an excuse because I really did think they could have won this game.
So if Steph played the way he played last night and you had Draymond and Cousins playing the way they played in game two, of course they would have won.
I don't know about that,
though.
I don't know.
I think they could have, well, because that would have changed the flow of the game.
It definitely would have, 100%. I think it would have been way closer, because we also have to give Raptors credit. We can't just assume that if a player, you know, comes in, then he would have ultimately made the difference. Like, was anyone really of that ilk of, like, if Clay played, we would have won? Because I think the Raptors put up a hell of a fight.
Well, Kyle Lowry had one of his best playoff games. And who's been guarding him a lot? You know, you're going to miss Clay's defense. You definitely miss Clay's defense. Obviously, they were hitting threes like crazy last night. The perimeter defense was not good at all for the Warriors. So it just goes to show you that you do miss Clay's defense out there.
17 for 38 from three as a team. Danny Green went 6 for 10. Kyle Lowry went 5 for 9. I really don't know if we should expect that or not, because I don't want to go out there and be like, yeah, they're not doing that again. Because that's the type of thing.
But we said that in game one.
You'll say that in game one, and then all of a sudden it'll come back to bite you, and they'll do that all of a sudden.
They are a great team.
They're a really good team.
Yes.
And they ended up playing really well. And mm-hmm. And when you're doing that mixed with a depleted Warriors roster who didn't play well, then obviously the Raptors are going to come out with a win. And I think they played well enough to the point where we can't say definitively that if one certain player was in, then, oh, yeah, the Warriors would have won. The Warriors would have kept it competitive, but I don't know if the Warriors would have won, because any type of run that they went on, the Raptors were leaving that. Danny Green, who annoys you more when they're making the threes consistently like that? Danny Green or Kyle Lowry? Knowing their past in the playoffs, yeah. Danny Green last series was in a slump. I was watching him against the Bucks. He couldn't knock down a bucket to save his life, and now all of a sudden he's taking these ill-advised shots, low percentage shots. Some of them were open, but some of them, there was the one in the corner where it looked like he was falling forward at an angle, like in the shape of a dash, like a slash, you know, like on the keyboard, mm-hmm. and he was diagonal to the basket and still managed to make that three. I got so annoyed. Who would you say annoys you more when they make those consistent threes?
100% Danny Green. Because Kyle Lowry, you kind of expect him to be able to do that. Obviously, he hasn't always lived up. He's taken a lot of flack for his performance in the past, but he should be able to do everything that he's been doing. But Danny Green, you're like, you don't expect it from him. You don't. But also, how about this? How about the fact that Kawhi Leonard's playing basically on one leg?
Yeah.
It just goes to show you how well he's been doing, and still he managed, 30 points last night?
You managed 30 points, and he hasn't even taken over a game, it doesn't feel like. He was on the boards toward the end when they were getting tired. That's when Kawhi Leonard comes out. That's where Boardman gets paid. Boardman gets paid. If you haven't heard that, we'll get into that next coming up, because it is a tremendous story. But I got to say, though, if we're going back to this Kyle Lowry versus Danny Green, who annoys you more with the more consistent threes? Kyle Lowry's that guy for
you,
me.
Huh?
For me, Kyle Lowry's that guy, because he has not been consistent in the playoffs in his career. And then he comes up and then he just starts knocking down shots. And I think for me last night when I was watching Kyle Lowry, anytime he put it up, I'd just be like, that's not going in. No way. Yeah. No, that's not going in. Then it did. Danny Green, that's all he could do is shoot three-pointers. So you kind of do expect it from him. But since he was so cold in the Eastern Conference playoffs, you don't right now.
I think he had more last night than he did in the entire, like one more three last night than he did in the entire Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and from the 925, Danny Green's been knocking down shots in the finals since the Spurs. He has experience. No, he knocked down shots in those finals. Don't say since those finals. Not since those finals with the Spurs. He did in the finals with the Spurs a very long time ago. And I don't know what his numbers were like in the Eastern Conference playoffs in that year. But I remember that finals game. I think he knocked down, 11 threes in that one game for the Spurs. I remember watching that. I think I was in Hawaii at the time.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good time.
Yeah, how about that? But we're going to continue to discuss this, because this game, it has me heated. It really does, a little bit. And you know why, though? I am not worried about the series one little bit. I am more worried for the future of the Warriors dynasty. Mm. We'll get into that. Mm-hmm. We also got some sound from Draymond Green, who's also super optimistic. Sound from Steve Kerr, all that good stuff. Feel free to text the text line 95795 888 957 9570. Did you want Clay to play last night? Where was that? What was the threshold for you at? What percentage did you want him to play? If he was maybe at like 80 or 90%, would you want him to go? Or what did you think about the whole Clay thing? Because I think that's the biggest question coming out of it. And I think everyone was left up to mystery up toward the start of the game. It's just like no one knows what's going to happen. And also when you're waiting for that announcement, you hear that Paul Pierce, when he talked about his injury when he was with the Celtics and he was taken off in a wheelchair, the reason that he was in the wheelchair is because he had to poop himself. But we'll then you're waiting for the announcement on Clay.
Then you get
that from Paul Pierce, then you just forget about Clay completely. And also, I want to get into this halftime show. Lil Pump, Oracle, what are you doing? We'll get into that next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadaki's.
Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in with you as we're kicking new flavor in your ear. And the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for golden mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. We're going to continue to discuss the Warriors here as they fall 123-109 in Oakland. Is it corny to just try and work in, like, song lyrics and work it into the program, into the intro?
I like it. It's a little corny. No, I like corny jokes. Mind you, I'm somebody who also knows like about a million pirate jokes, so I'm probably not the right person to ask. I also really like this tweet from Mark Benioff yesterday at the Warrior game. Game 3, Metallica versus Drake. Nothing else matters.
How about...
Nicely done there.
That is nicely done. That is nicely done.
I liked watching Metallica last night, too.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. The halftime show, I have a problem with that. We'll get into that in a little bit. You can hear me rant on that. I'm sure some people on the text line will have my back. As a matter of fact, if 100% of you don't have my back when it comes to this halftime show opinion, then you're wrong. real quick,
we're going to
get to Tony in Oakland. But Steve Kerr, he talked about the reason why he sat Clay, and he had a pretty insightful answer. Take a listen.
Well, the whole point was to not risk a bigger injury that would keep him out of the rest of the series. So that was the decision we made, and I feel very comfortable with it. Never would have forgiven myself if I played him tonight and he had gotten hurt. So you live with the decision. You make a wise decision, the wisest one you can, then you live with it and you move forward. So the good thing is Clay has done well the last 2 days. Now he's got another couple of days to heal. Hopefully he'll be out there Friday.
And our man Tony in Oakland wanted to comment on that and a little more. What's going on, Tony?
Absolutely. And number one, Anna, I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, so it's so nice to hear from you and talk to you.
Thanks, Tony.
So I don't know you. I haven't heard you before, but you have a great analyticals. But my take on this whole thing is, like, let's say everything comes to fruition, right? Clay and Draymond and KD and every. But what happens then? Now we have to play games. So everybody is thinking, like, this is all good and pretty and sweet and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, now we have to play games. So what's your take on what I guess they call it the rust and the rest? What's your take on that, man?
What do you mean the rest versus rust? Like who's if KD and Clay come back, are they going to be like a little rusty if they do?
No. It's like the rust of an injury and
right.
The rest of, you know what I'm saying? Because I think personally that these guys can come back with gangbusters. So I'm not afraid of it, but I just want to know what you guys' take on it.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Tony. I think that personally with when it comes to just like rest versus rust, I mean, when it comes to like Kevin Durant, I guess that's like the only guy you're going to sit there and wonder if he does come back. I don't know if the expectation is for KD and Clay to come back in game four. I guess that is right now.
It seems like
it. It seems
it
like
feels
that
like
is.
It.
But I think the main thing with KD is just like, I don't know. Do you think that can affect KD, the whole rest versus rust thing, because he hasn't played since that last series?
I think he's one of those guys that's only going to need about a quarter, maybe a half at the most, but then he's going to go off. I mean, 80% of KD is probably better than a lot of the guys he have right now.
Yeah.
And he's such a spectacular player in what he can do, and also just the threat of KD adds something to the court and adds something to how the Raptors are going to have to change their defense. Now you have somebody like, say, Boogie, who's also recovering from being off for like about 6 weeks. He had a great game two that we talked about, but, you know, really lackluster game three. But I think a lot of it does have to do with, you know, he played really hard in game two off a really tough injury.
Yeah.
And sure, he, you know, he came back obviously the start of the series, but we have to take it into consideration. The guy was off 6 weeks with what we thought was a season-ending injury, and he was talking about yesterday, I believe, was it on the Jump that he was on?
It wasn't on the Jump.
I think it was on the
I think it was with Rachel Nichols, but it was before or during the pregame show.
Okay.
You know, during the during ABC's pregame show,
yeah,
or ESPN's, whatever.
He was talking about actually thinking about throwing in the towel, just giving up, and then just the what it takes to come back from that type of injury.
Yeah.
It just says how hard he had to work to get there. So I'm not saying, oh, just let it go. But, you know, you got to take into consideration what the guy has gone through.
Yeah, I think we all have to. And from the 925 here on the Chilton Auto Body text line, everybody expects the Warriors to win three out of the next four games. Nobody thinks the Raptors are going to win two games to close it out. We can easily win while protecting the franchise by limiting minutes for KD and Clay. The Raptors are shooting freely and the buckets are dropping. In the words of Bob Dylan, when you got nothing, you got nothing to lose. So do you consider, like, when Clay went out, would you say that the Raptors' backs were sort of against the wall? Like, there were the pressure was all on them, right?
Yeah.
Now I think the pressure for now, which completely shifted to the Warriors in game four. This game four has turned out to be, I mean, this could be the last game at Oracle if things go well or things go wrong. I mean, this could be the last game at Oracle. Do you see, like, way more of the pressure? Is all the pressure taken off the Raptors now?
I wouldn't say it's all taken off the Raptors.
Yeah.
Definitely game three was all on the Raptors, because the one thing you kept hearing was must win.
Yeah.
If they don't win this game, I mean, I talked about it yesterday with you right at the beginning of the show. If they didn't win yesterday, this was a game that would have mentally messed them up.
Yeah.
And they could not bounce back from that, because the idea of losing Clay, of losing Kevon, of not having KD on the court, and you still lose, and then thinking that you might get potentially Clay and KD back after that, how do you bounce back from that?
Right.
That is incredibly difficult. So that was a game that they had to win in order to keep this series going.
You know, I was thinking of that. I was thinking of what you said. Like, you know, you said if they do win this game, then the Warriors are going to win in five. That couldn't have been more true, I think, going into that game yesterday. So you hit the nail on the head there, Anna. That's what they say. Is there anything else? Is there anything else that kind of equates to hitting the nail on the head when it comes to getting a point right?
Maybe hitting
hitting the ball at the tee,
hole in one. What's it called when you call it the bullseye? Thank you. Hit a bullseye in darts. So there.
Okay. And from the 510 here, hey Curry, welcome to LeBron's world. Not so easy without good players around you. #Hashtag overrated. And then they put Raptors in five. So clearly they're a Raptors fan.
Yeah.
But I will say this: I think a lot of Warrior fans are going to be praising Clay. Steph, for this performance last night, especially with all these guys that were out. But I will say there has been comparisons to this 2014-2015 team when Kyrie and Kevin Love were out. And I looked up LeBron's stats from there, and he had four games where he had 40-plus points, and they ended up going 2-2 in that time. So you're saying if these guys are out for the remainder of the time, you're going to need Steph to score 40-plus points for the rest of the series in order to even have a chance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Probability doesn't really work in their favor.
No.
There. And then from the 925, the Raptors are not letting the Warriors score past 109 points. All games have been 109 for the Warriors. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
Yeah.
I heard that number. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
That number does sound
I didn't realize
today.
That until I was watching Steve Kerr's press conference last night. And then I actually, it was Rick Tittle. Good old Rick Tittle, who asked him a question about just the Raptors defense and all this sort of stuff. And then he just basically said, well, we scored 109 again. We should have held them to 108.
Yep.
That was the key, and we didn't do that.
Defense.
So he's like, next time, we'll hopefully put him to 108. from the 510 on the Chill Nobody text line. This series could be 3-0 right now. The Raptors are getting some open looks in game two, just weren't knocking them down. That texture's 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
That's 100% right. Game one, they came out and sort of dominated. And then game two, they had a lull and let the Warriors even win when they couldn't score in the final 5 minutes of the game, much like the Raptors were in that second quarter yesterday where they couldn't just buy a bucket, because that's actually attributing more to the Warriors' defense. I'm not attributing the last 5 minutes in that fourth quarter of the last game to the Raptors' defense. I'm attributing that to the Warriors' offense.
What did you think of Sean Livingston starting yesterday?
I think they had no choice. Mm-hmm. They clearly wanted to get someone on the defensive side of the ball. The only thing with Sean Livingston, though, that I've noticed in these playoffs is he's not taking nearly as many of those mid-range jumpers mm-hmm. as he used to. Maybe it's just a case of him not being able to get up as high, or just how the Raptors are defending him. But he would use the big thing that Sean would always use when he was scoring points from the mid-range, he would use his length. He'd get up above these defenders, he'd get up above their hands, and he would be able to shoot over them. But right now, you're not seeing him able to do that anymore. You're seeing Sean actually come out way more aggressive, I think, getting to the rack, like setting up passes to go in for the dunk. We've seen Sean Livingston. We had one yesterday where he went in for just a little high-flying dunk that was set up from Draymond Green. There's certain times, but I get it. I think there's only so much that they could have done.
Yeah,
the units they were throwing out, the lineups they were throwing out.
So weird. Some of them.
They weren't used to it.
No,
they weren't used to it. And you know what? We'll get into this next. We'll get into a couple of the texts here, because the 510 has kind of the big point that I wanted to make in the next segment. And he says, from the 510, last night was a preview of if KD and Klay leave next year. And then from the 408, I don't know about you guys, but the crowd last night sucked at Oracle. They did not compare to the Toronto Raptors crowd in that game. One or two, Oracle needs to step up. We'll continue to discuss all of this next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagalaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis.
Stephen Langford, Anna Kagarakis, laying low with you on this fine, what is it, Thursday?
Thursday morning.
As the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lover. Join Golden State Lover for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. I gotta say, I think my biggest flaw as a host is not knowing what day it is.
You know what?
I think I've asked every day this week. What day is it? Monday? What
ain't
day is it? Tuesday?
Since my oldest is out of school, I have no idea what day it is anymore. I'm just trying to figure out a way to keep them occupied. So by the time the game comes around, they're not bouncing off the walls, which they were yesterday. So,
oof.
Yeah, it's not easy when you're trying to watch a game. You're like, all right, sit. Now over there. Go over there. I need to watch the game here.
I had a couple of dogs that I was having to manage while watching the game.
Oh, yeah.
Does that count?
A little bit different.
All right. All right, fine.
I'll give it to you, though.
All right, fine. My dogs are my children. I'm just kidding.
Just don't walk
you
around.
You do not
dogs.
Like those people.
Not the people that walk around with a stroller with the dog. That's just messed up.
Not at
don't
all.
Do it. Don't do that. I'm just going to laugh at you. I really want to just, like, laugh at somebody, but I feel I'd be really mean. I'm not that mean of a person, so I'm just laughing in my head at them.
Just keep to yourself.
Yeah, I will.
Just keep to yourself. We have been hot, though, on this game.
Mm-hmm.
In case you're just tuning in, it is 5:37 in the morning. I assume some of you are just getting into your vehicles, but we've been discussing the 123-109 loss to the Raptors. And I think, Anna, we just started the show, and I think the one thing we wanted to kind of reiterate here is that even though the announcement for Klay that he went out and he's not going to play in this game, I don't think there was anyone who thought, all right, he's out. There's no chance, at least any Warrior fan.
Right.
I think any Warrior fan was like, okay, well, you know what? I think we need the Warriors to play just a clean game. They got to make their open shots. They got to do whatever they have to do. And the fact is, they didn't last night. You just noticed the passes. They weren't really going as crisply as you wanted them mm-hmm. to go. They weren't knocking down open shots whenever they had them. Jonas Jerebko missed one, but he also made one. Quinn Cook missed a couple also, but he also made a nice little step back mid-range jumper. But when you got Steph, who really just was the only one making anything, and Cousins, who was supposed to be one of your primary scorers on the floor, he wasn't doing anything either. I mean, there was just no way they could have won that game.
No, and you have Steph Curry, who had an amazing night, 47 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. He had 6 threes in the game. He was amazing.
Yeah.
But the rest of the team fell short.
Right.
And you have Boogie Cousins, who did not have the same performance that he had in game two. Draymond Green, you know, he had 17 points on the night. He didn't have that strong of a performance again as game two. Pascal Siakam was still going out, had a great night for him last night. So he didn't have that same defense on him like we saw in game two. So there were things that were not going the Warriors' way, and everything seemed to go the way for the Raptors. They were hitting the threes when it just seemed like the Warriors were coming back. They were getting back in the game. They were getting it close, and then all of a sudden you have Van Vliet hitting a three. You have Danny Green hitting the three. Kyle Lowry going off. It's just like, gosh.
Timely.
Timely, very timely. They were able to stop the runs.
Yeah, timely threes. And what you just said brings me to a point that this texter is making right here. And from the 925 on the Chilton Autobody text line, are you guys serious? The Warriors went on three different runs to pull within seven. If they have Clay or KD, it's tied or they go ahead. You saw it happen in game two. McKinney, Cook, and Yurebko played scared. Yeah, but you know the difference that you saw in game three that you didn't see happen in game two? Where what you just exactly said, you didn't see Danny Green making 6 of 10 threes. You didn't see Fred Van Vliet making whatever it was. I don't even have the stats up in front of me right now, but he had, I think it was like 5 for 9 or something like that, or maybe that was Kyle Lowry. But
he was a 3 for 6 for the threes.
And Kyle Lowry went 5 for 9. See, you don't have those guys doing that in game two, and we got to take KD out of the equation. Don't act like, you know, if you put KD in like that, he wasn't going to play. So that's not an analogy we can use. Now, with the Clay one, obviously, if he was going to play, then maybe you can use that. But I just think, regardless of whoever would have come in, if they would have had Clay, that doesn't take away from what the Raptors did, which was, yes, the texture is absolutely right. Went on three different runs to pull within seven. But then when they pulled within seven, the Raptors made another three in their face to go up. They were going into that first quarter. They could have been down by four. Mm-hmm. And then Danny Green just goes ahead and makes a three right at the end of the quarter. Like, they were just timely threes. And I don't know if we can definitively say, yeah, if a certain player was in, then yeah, the Warriors would have won. I just don't think we could definitively say that after last night.
Well, there is one thing you could definitively say, is that they lacked defense last night. And a big part of that defense was obviously Klay Thompson.
Yep.
He's one of the best two-way players in the league. And he's somebody that is so good at defending the ball. You see where Kyle Lowry goes off last night.
Right.
You know, you had Kawhi Leonard scoring 30 points last night on a bum leg. And, you know, you missed Kevon Looney and his length last night.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have Steph trying to guard Kawhi, you see the mismatch all day there.
Yeah.
So you see where defense was missing. You had, again, we just talked about this in the last segment, the Warriors scored 109 points. They scored 109 in the win in game two.
Yeah.
They scored 109 again last night, but when you have Toronto scoring 123, I'm sorry, but the defense was not there last night.
And you know what? It's no surprise that you talked about Clay's defense, and we listed off the three guards of that team that ended up knocking down their shots. I just think we don't expect them to knock down the open ones, because we didn't see that at Danny Green in the last playoffs. And from the 559 on the Chill Nobody text line, Lowry does not make all those threes with Clay on him. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's just, I think the Raptors played, they just played so well. It's just hard for me to say if a specific player was in. If Clay was in, then yeah, the Warriors would have won. I just can't definitively say that. Now, it would have been way more competitive. It wouldn't have been 123 to 109. Hell, the Warriors might not have even scored just 109. They might have scored more than that. Or the Raptors might have scored less. I just can't say, yeah, the Warriors would have won. I just think it's just too absolute for me. That's just it.
Look, every game is different. Every game you have different circumstances. Things happen. And look, injuries take, you go with what you have with you on the court.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not feeling bad about this loss, as bad as I've felt in the past.
Not at all.
And somebody who also has been really confident, obviously, was somebody like Draymond Green, who felt very confident watching him post game yesterday. I'm sitting there watching the post game and I'm seeing him, and he was actually very, very relaxed. And I remember in the Clippers series when they lost with that 31 point comeback, all of a sudden, you had Draymond and KD leaving, didn't stick around for post game. Last night you had post game and he was relaxed and chill, like, it's okay.
You want to hear any of that post game?
Yeah, I would love to.
Wow. Way to set that up.
No problem.
We didn't even plan that.
I know.
No, when you assemble the team, everyone brings something different. So, you know, but no one cared if guys are hurt. Everybody wants to see us lose. So I'm sure people are happy they're hurt. We just got to continue to battle and win the next game, go back to Toronto. Win game five, come back to Oracle, win game six, and then celebrate. Fun times ahead.
He's smiling.
Yeah.
The whole time. They just lost, and he's smiling.
Fun times ahead is going to turn into a drop. I'm going to make that into a drop when I do have time coming up here.
I like that, actually.
Fun times ahead. I mean, is there a reason he's so calm?
I think maybe that game four, you're going to have Clay and KD back, and he's sitting there thinking, it's all right, we lost this one, but we're going to get some big guys back in this next game.
You think he knows something?
I think he does. Obviously, to be that confident, after that game to say, not going to lose. He just said they're not losing again, and they just set up the perfect ending to finish at Oracle, to finish the final game at Oracle with a finals win.
Wow. I didn't even, like, come away thinking that. I just assumed, you know, Draymond's just that confident in his game and in this team, but I didn't even think, like, oh, yeah, he just knows for sure that KD and Klay is coming.
I think he thinks it.
That's an interesting take.
I mean, he's been very confident. We've heard his, you know, we just heard last week his whole talk about being the best defender, and that was one of the most inspirational things. I've actually played it for my niece who plays soccer.
Yeah.
I said, you know, if you ever feel down on yourself, just listen to this speech from Draymond. It's phenomenal. I played that for her, and I love that speech, and I love his confidence. But to me, there was a little bit of a different confidence last night because, to me, it felt like he knew something. I mean, the guy was smiling.
Yeah.
It was a smirk on his face.
Yeah, especially when he came in and said, fun times ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was a little smirk. Looks like good in glasses.
I was thinking the same thing last night. I like the glasses look, Draymond.
Guy can rock the glasses. I never seen him wear glasses.
I think he needs to wear them more often. Not obviously on the court, but, you know, post-game, I want to see more glasses look.
Here's Draymond Green with glasses still talking to the media after the game.
I don't view it as sacrificing. We went out there and played hard and we lost. You know, we didn't go in this game thinking we're not going to play Clay or Kevin or Loon or anybody else and we're just going to get this game away. They played well. They knocked down, I think, 17 threes. You got to give them credit. But we didn't sacrifice. You don't sacrifice a finals game to be healthy for the next one, because anything can happen. But same time, you do have to be smart. You know, we would much rather have Clay for the rest of the series than putting him out there and lose him and then nothing. So, no one sacrificed the game.
I think just after, you know, it could be, there's still a thought in some people's minds, yeah, if Clay played, then they would have won. But could you imagine if Clay played and they would have lost and then he wouldn't be back to full strength? Oof. Like you go into Friday. Maybe, you know, Clay could be back full strength on Friday, even if he did play yesterday. Mm-hmm. You never know. But I think in the end, when they did sit Clay, if it's really like that bad to the point where like, Clay, we can't let you play. Like it has to be like terrible in order for Clay to agree to sit down. Clay doesn't agree to just sit. You can tell on the bench that he didn't want to. It must have been just that bad. And they knew that, hey, if you make a wrong cut, if you land on your foot awkwardly, if you jump awkwardly and you land awkwardly, something could happen to that knee of yours. And I just think that, you know, in the end, I think they made the right decision, even though they did lose. But also, I still think they had a chance to win. That's
lose
the thing.
Yeah, lose the battle to win the war. I mean, that's what it kind of came down to yesterday. You want to make sure he's 100% able to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, you heard Steve Kerr say he'll try to play if he's half dead. And yeah. I mean, he obviously was bad enough. They said, we need you long term.
No.
And you're also going to also have, like we said, you know, Kawhi Leonard, he's definitely got his own injury. And now you have a full another game that he's played. And you have Clay resting to get better. It's only going to help them in the long run.
It's not. You know what's cool is seeing KD just pumping up Steph.
I love that.
You know, anyone who thinks that he doesn't care, he wants to sit out. No, he doesn't want to sit out. He's there for his team.
Yeah.
In the end, I mean, that's at least what he's giving off right now to me. He's not giving off, yeah, I gave up. A lot of people thought that in that Clippers series when he only took 8 shots. It doesn't strike me as that. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's not a team guy and a me guy. Maybe he is, but, you know, for me, he's given off that, hey, he wants to be a part of this team and he wants to help them any way they can. And that's what we talked about, why he traveled to Toronto. We were saying, ooh, could he possibly be playing in Toronto? in the first couple of games. No, he was just there because he's a smart player and he has high IQ and he could help these players any way they can. And he was doing that with Steph going out to the game yesterday, and you saw it in game two also.
Yeah.
So he was there for the right reasons. But Anna, here's the thing for me about last night, and it's not that I'm worried about this series. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I still think the Warriors are going to win this series. Last night's game didn't make me concerned for the series at all. I still think it could go seven. It could go six. Mm-hmm. I have a tough time making those type of predictions because the series can go anyway. It's a game by game thing. You know what? Okay, fine.
I'll just have a crystal ball.
I'll make one real quick. Dubs and six. That's what I think.
There you go.
I think dubs and six. I think it's going to happen. I think the Warriors, I do think KD and Klay are going to come back. But if there's any one game sample for what we see for the Warriors' future, it's that right there. Because you're not going to see that where KD, Klay, and Looney are all out. And guess what? Those guys happen to be the ones that you need to pay and bring back next season. Those are the guys that might have other options. So last night was just a tiny preview of what's to come in this future for the Warriors. And I want this dynasty to continue because I understand it's been a fantastic run and they've been doing this since 2014, but I want it to last longer. I want it to last going into the Chase Center. And I just think that last night showed that they need to bring back Klay, but also they need to add another player if KD does go out. Because if KD's gone, if Looney's gone, if Looney happens to sign a bigger contract elsewhere, KD just finds a better another situation that he wants to get. I was about to say better, but he's not going to find. I don't think he's going to find a better situation.
Right. Yeah.
But he could find another situation elsewhere next season. And so I'm just saying, if you're going to go into the future to be just reliant on the health of Steph and Klay while KD and Looney are out, it kind of makes me worry for the Warriors' future. I know we want to live in the moment, but I also want the moment to continue to happen. I want to live in the moment every season. I don't want to be looking back on what was. So it just made me a tiny bit nervous as I'm watching, because if there's any game to make you think about the future for this Warriors franchise here, it would be this one that they played last night, because they had the three free agents, the guys that they need to sign next season. They were all out. So you kind of got a little tiny obviously they're going to add a couple of players, but who knows if Klay leaves, I don't know if he's replaceable. I don't know, because he's been with this team for so long. So I just think last night, that's the one thing that kind of boggled my mind a little bit. It was just like, wow, we really just saw a tiny little preview of what could be for the future of the Warriors.
Now, look, I'm with you 100%. First, the counter, though, is obviously if you don't have those guys, you're obviously going to fill that void with somebody else in there. You're going to find that void. The difference is when you're talking about somebody like Klay Thompson, he has some really unique skills that I think also fit specifically this team. And I think that he and Steph Curry really complement each other really well. Kevin Durant, that's a void that is incredibly hard to fill. I don't think you could fill that with one player.
I don't think I don't think he knows where he's going to go.
No.
I truly believe that.
I'm really hoping Nike's right, though, with this whole T-shirt on the back where it had the list of all the places that he's played, and it ended with San Francisco, California. We had Oakland, then San Francisco. I'm really hoping that's the case. Klay Thompson, you got to offer him the max. Look, Joe Lacob, I don't mean to be, you know, spending your money like it's my money, but I'm going to act like I am, because if you want
Anna
this,
Lakoff.
Anna Lakoff, I like that. Oh, no, maybe not. But anyway, the whole thing is, though, that I want to spend. You need to spend your money right now because this Chase Arena is opening. We've talked about this multiple times here with the morning show. You have a brand new arena opening. You're going to have a different fan base that's going to be coming in, and you need butts in the seat. So what are you going to do? You got to put out a good product out there. And what you had last night, Steph Curry, what he does is phenomenal on the floor. But that just can't be the only thing out there, because you've seen with Steph, you've seen, like we talked with LeBron, when he had nobody else around him,
yeah,
he can score all these points. But in the end, it's wins that gets you butts in the seats, that gets you people to come out there and support this team.
And we're seeing a lot of praise for Steph in his performance last night. But if they all leave, I don't want to say, but he would turn into LeBron with the Cavs, where LeBron scoring 40 plus points in four of the games in 2014, 2015, and still coming up with a loss in the finals. And you know what? Jeff Van Gundy said, I took the time down because I was, as soon as he said, I was like, whoa. But with 3 minutes and 45 seconds left in the game, Jeff Van Gundy said, I'm going to say right now, if I'm doing a Jeff Van Gundy impression, this Warriors team that they're putting out there, they're not making the Western Conference playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a bad impression. But he also said that, though. And I'm thinking, the playoffs, I thought he said Western Conference Finals. And I rewound it when they were going up for a free throw. And I was like, damn, he said Western Conference playoffs.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say playoffs. Finals for sure. Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you've seen.
That's kind of what opened my eyes to this whole Clay, Kevon, and KD thing. I was like, you know what? Yeah. Because, I mean, this could possibly be like, it's obviously they'd add someone, maybe a Jimmy Butler, like the text line is saying. But in the end, this could be what the future looks like. If there's one game in which we look and think, this could be a preview of the future, it would be this game because all three guys that they need to sign next year were out.
Look, you had three All-Stars in the starting lineup. You also had a bench that you would add more pieces to that bench.
Yeah.
Obviously. Obviously, that's the big thing. So you would add more pieces. So, but specifically this team, yeah, it would be question marks, especially with the health statuses around everybody else. Andre Iguodala is, you know, he seems fine, but he's got a little bit of calf issues that he's working around. You got Sean Livingston, who's older. He's not the same Sean Livingston that we've known and loved.
Mm-hmm.
You have Boogie Cousins coming off a huge injury. So, of course, it's not going to be, you know, this team that they had last night. They had a very rough night last night.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they were all going up to their full potential, you'd probably have a better performance.
Now, we don't know what the team's going to look like going
no.
into Chase Center. We have no idea. But one thing we can agree on, I think now, though, especially after watching this last night, is that this offseason is going to be one we're going to want to watch.
Very closely.
Yeah.
Very closely. And you need a pay.
As we talk about Chase.
And Kevon Looney, man, that's another one that we're going to – you missed him so much last night.
Yeah, and I think, though, that he has done enough to garner himself a payday from another team. I think there's another team out there who thinks that Kevon Looney could improve their team. And from the 209 on the Chill Nobody text line, if you worry about tomorrow, you can't enjoy today. I enjoy the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed every single moment of it. But there's this one game, if there's any – that's all I'm saying is I haven't thought about the future once this entire playoffs. I haven't thought about where KD's going.
Really?
I haven't thought, not really. I really haven't. I've been focusing on the playoffs so much, but this one game, it forced me to look into the future.
Look,
or try to look into the future.
Just channel your inner Draymond.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. Look, there's good fun times ahead.
Yeah.
Fun times ahead.
Okay, real quick. We have three minutes left, Anna. We've seen one text here as we talk about what happens in the Chase Center. These could be the last couple of games at Oracle. And we see on the text line here from the 510 saying that the Oracle crowd was crazy last night. Wait for them to show up. I don't know if that's being sarcastic or not, but I think a majority of the people would say that Oracle wasn't all that loud last night.
I heard a lot of Raptor cheering last night, which kind of shocked me. And then there was a huge contingent of people after the game singing O Canada, which really offended me. Dub Nation, come on.
You know,
Canada in here.
You know where I'm at? I'm going to just say it is what it is. We've been chastising the crowd, the Oracle crowd, for the past year just because the prices went up and all that. The text line has, everyone has. I'm not expecting anything more. I really don't. When you're paying $600 a seat
a
to sit in the nosebleeds, it's like I really... If they're not showing up for finals of game three, do I expect them to show up for game four? Maybe they might be a little louder, but I don't expect much anymore
expect
from
more
the
for
Oracle.
Game four.
You expect, I mean, I just don't expect much. I
think I expect more for game four because of the idea that when looking ahead, people were thinking this could be the final game at Oracle when they were looking at buying tickets. Like, which would you have rather bought tickets to, game three or game four? I would have bought game four, thinking either that they could close it out or it could be the final game at Oracle. Obviously, it's not now, potentially, hopefully. Because then hopefully they could come back in six and win it there, even six or seven. But still, it's not going to be the last game, but it could potentially be the last game at Oracle. So that's where I think you had more people shelling out more for game four rather than game three.
Second to last game possibly at Oracle, and you bring out Lil Pump for halftime? I saw that on Twitter, and I almost threw my computer at my TV because I was really angry at that. I enjoy music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
you're very good with it, too.
I enjoy the music. I enjoy it. And I am the guys that have these the colored hair, like the rainbow colored hair, mm-hmm. and the tattoos on the face, Lil Pump just personifies that. And I think I'm not a huge fan of that music, and I just think bringing him in for the second now, go ahead, perform anywhere else, but the second to last game in the Bay Area at Oracle, like, it goes the complete opposite of what Bay Area music is.
Yeah.
Just Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. I was not a fan of that.
Nope.
And apparently the crowd wasn't either. Robert Latall of Black Sports Online, BSO, he tweeted out that there was some booing for Lil Pump at halftime, and I would have been right in there with him.
Like, I'm not happy with that one. Metallica was great for the
Metallica,
national anthem.
Fantastic.
They're phenomenal. I'm hoping to see a Carlos Santana for game four.
Hopefully.
Because, you know.
With the drummer. I think that's his wife. We're correct. The drummer, yes. That would
phenomenal.
Be great. But you know what? You should have thrown out Red Panda. Give me Red Panda at halftime. Or the guy that's on the BMX bike going around the arena. Or the people that are, like, inside the hula hoop that are just doing crazy tricks in the middle of the court. I need anything but Lil Pump.
It's all bad.
As we have 30 seconds left in the show, JD, John Dinkinson, 95.7 Reporter, will join Joe Low and Dibs at 6:30, Greg Papa at 8:30, then Kalena Azubuki in studio from 9 to 10. Wow, this show went quick.
It did go fast. No Drake last night, but no Drake courtside.
No Drake. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Why didn't he
show up?
We'll have to get into that. We'll do a little research for tomorrow's show.
Oh, but he said something about Clay on Twitter. All right, Jolo and Dibs are next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.